Analysis. Despite the Netanyahu government's promises, the IDF admits it can't disarm Hezbollah. With the IDF stretched thin, Israelis exhausted, southern Lebanon destroyed, and the US admitting that it was not ready for such a long campaign, it seems that Iran and its proxy Hezbollah are the only ones prepared for a long and costly war. By Amos Harrell. Sometimes the truth is optional. A senior IDF officer told military reporters on Friday morning what should have been obvious, and has been stated here repeatedly in recent weeks, the fighting in Lebanon, in its current format, will not result in Hezbollah's full disarmament. It may, at best, advance the dismantling of the organization's infrastructure south of the Litani River and inflict more losses. Israel could strive for a demilitarized southern Lebanon, but the airstrikes on Hezbollah command centers and bunkers in Beirut and the Bekaa will not result in the organization's total collapse. Many senior IDF officers concur. The problem is that the government is expressing different aspirations. In late March, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu boasted about the creation of three new security zones in southern Lebanon, in the Syrian Golan Heights and in the eastern half of the Gaza Strip. Defense Minister Israel Katz, who showers daily threats on all of Israel's enemies, from the Euphrates to the Nile and beyond, promises Hezbollah's total defeat. IDF Chief of Staff Eyal Zamir agrees with his officers, but in a bid to reduce the friction with the political leadership, he too has made similar promises occasionally. When the remarks of an unnamed officer triggered a storm in the media, the chief of staff was called upon to support him while also making it clear that while Hezbollah's total disarmament is indeed an objective, it will take time to achieve. In other words, not this time, in this format. In the meantime, a double expectation gap emerged between the government and the military, on the one hand, and the public, on the other. The main one has to do with remarks by Netanyahu, his ministers and also top IDF officers regarding the success of the previous war against Hezbollah in the fall of 2024, which turned out to be temporary. Hezbollah lowered its profile but used the time to regroup. It can't cause as much harm to the military in the home front as it once could, but it is more focused in its actions and recognizes its opponent's weaknesses. Second, going into their fifth week in shelters, residents of northern Israel expect more from the IDF than the IDF intends to give them. A trust problem is developing that will affect residents' willingness to return to confrontation-line communities. The IDF has seized the second line of border villages, 8 to 10 kilometers, 5 to 6.2 miles, into Lebanon north of the border, buffering Israeli border communities from anti-tank missiles. During a recent meeting with Zamir, the mayor of one of these communities explained that while residents can handle the emotional strain of coping with rocket and mortar fire in wartime, not many will agree to stay when their homes are in danger of being destroyed. The line of advance was accordingly drawn. Meanwhile, the IDF began systematic demolitions in the newly conquered Shiite villages after their inhabitants fled under Israeli threats. The area is larger and less dense, but the military already seems to have set a course that will result in the importation to Lebanon of the Gaza model, the near-total destruction of communities, citing strikes on infrastructure. Another crucial question has to do with the linkage between the two theaters, the Iranian and the Lebanese. Should the U.S. decide to end the war in Iran, what happens in Lebanon? Hezbollah will find it hard to fight by itself against the IDF, particularly if all of Israel's offensive resources, particularly the Air Force, are trained on it alone. In such an eventuality, much will depend on the American position and on the question of whether they will once more try to push for a political settlement in Lebanon, or give Israel the green light to go on fighting for a while, in the hope of backing Hezbollah into a corner. This is not how Donald Trump imagined the war. In a speech last week, the U.S. president admitted that he had expected the war to last no more than 3 days. Trump's demand that Iran reopen the Strait of Hormuz is set to expire Monday. He threatened to bomb power plants and other energy facilities and return Iran to the Stone Age. The Americans have so far made few attacks against Iran's civilian infrastructure. When they permitted Israel to do so twice, they were quick to disavow the results and to claim that Israel had acted against their judgment. Now, Trump is waving the doomsday weapon. The damage to the Iranian regime and economy, should this happen, will be tremendous. But this will be dangerous territory than hitherto considered, in terms of the global economy, the standing of the U.S. and the position of Arab states in the Persian Gulf. For now, the new incarnation of the regime in Tehran is demonstrating stubbornness and determination. Absent any significant concessions by Iran, Trump could decide on further escalation, with the expectation that only a resounding military blow will get Iran to reconsider its refusal. Should the war grow longer, the economic harm to the U.S. could increase, resulting in a political price to be paid by Trump and the Republican Party. The Iranians, however, appear to regard the current war as not just another round, they seek to leverage the heavy attacks on them, that they have so far survived, into a new settlement that will guarantee them protection from further attacks and a special standing in the Strait of Hormuz. In recent days, Iran has slightly increased its fire on Israel and Persian Gulf countries, scoring a successful attack on the U.S. embassy in Saudi Arabia. According to U.S. intelligence, half of Iran's missile launchers are still operable and they still have hundreds of missiles capable of hitting Israel. Israeli intelligence has yet to spot a possible exit toward settlement, in light of the gaps between the U.S. and Iranian positions. Israel's influence on the process is currently limited. Meanwhile, the United States is beginning to realize the cost of war. Iran shot down an F-15 fighter jet on Friday. The pilot was rescued, but one crew member is still missing. A few more U.S. fighter jets and helicopters were shot down or hit during the extensive rescue operation. Israeli fighter jets are also still in such danger. Iran's regular air defense systems have been mostly destroyed, but its forces improvise surface-to-air missile ambushes by cannibalizing components, creating a significant threat. U.S. media outlets have reported that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was also surprised by Iran's response to the initial attacks on the country. Last week, he fired the U.S. Army's top uniformed officer, Chief of Staff General Randy George, and two other generals. Hegseth has fired over a dozen generals and admirals since taking office last year. Despite Trump's statements and the terrible damage inflicted on Iran, it is clear that things are not going smoothly for the Americans. Netanyahu, who continues to spew promises of a historic victory, should be concerned about a different scenario, that after the blow that the United States may land on Iran, Trump will look for a way. He may declare victory, reach an inadequate agreement with Iran, and leave Israel to deal with the long-term consequences on its own.